Welcome everybody to our week ahead video. I'm sitting in for Andrew this week, but as always, we're joined by Dominique. Dominique, let's jump right into things. We had a lot of data, a lot of speakers this week. Shall we start off with ISM, the services data out earlier this week? What did you make of it?
So it surprised on the high side, especially the price index. To be honest, I understand it's an important data piece of data for traders, but from a macro perspective, if you look at GDP and ISM services since the pandemic, they have decoupled. Also, as you know, I'm very focused on the consumer price index. If you look at the goods component of that, it's moving more closely with the import price index than with the PPI that is more related to the ISM price sub index. So, in terms of macro impact, didn't do much to change my views of the economy. I mean, which is basically that disinflation is slowing but continuing, and growth is strong.
And I mean, on the topic of inflation, CPI, that we had the well-anticipated CPI revision data out today. What did you make of that?
Fortunately, it turned out a nothing burger because I think we got so much volatility that everybody could do with a quiet Friday. So this one is behind us, onwards and upwards, basically.
Awesome. And there's been tons of Fed speakers this week. Absolutely tons of, I think nine, maybe even 10.
Yeah.
Have any of them said anything new from the last time we heard them?
Well, I mean, they've both been singing in sync with the, with what we heard from Powell. Basically, we need to see more good data before we can cut. I mean, the one speech that caught my attention was from Adriana Kugler. She's the latest board appointee, and she's a labor economist. She was appointed by a Democratic administration, but interestingly enough, she was the most hawkish of the lot. I mean, she, as they all said, yes, we are going to cut, but we just want more data. She said, I mean, she was the least committal of the lot. She said, if the inflation and labor market data continue to improve, it may be justified to cut or something along those lines. And I thought it was interesting because one, she was born in Colombia, and she said actually in the speech that she had some firsthand experience of high inflation. And also, she's a labor economist, and her, I mean, I'm a nerd. So for an economics nerd like me, her speech was really a little bit of a like candy because it was so full of economic analysis. She's very focused on the labor market, which she knows very well. So another reason for being marginally more hawkish could be that she's looking at all kinds of indicators and seeing that the labor market remains very tight.
And
Possible, it's possible.
would it be more of the same next week with the Fed speakers, or does it really come down to how CPI and retail sales come out next week?
Yeah, definitely, especially CPI. This is a Fed that is extremely focused on inflation data rather than on the macro backdrop. And even the CPI won't cut it. It's really the PC that they are after, but definitely. And to be fair to them, I mean, we've had this combination of a strong growth with disinflation, which in my view reflects, positive supply shocks. I think I've been saying this for the past year or so. The listeners must be getting tired, but that's the reality of it. And so even the retail sales is less important than the CPI.
So is there anything you're looking for in particular in the CPI release? Are you looking for potentially even a beat or a miss? I mean, what's your take on the release?
So basically, if anything, upward risk, because we still have a positive correlation between energy prices on a seasonally adjusted basis, energy prices probably will be up. Also, I think we are moving into what central bankers are calling the last mile of inflation, where disinflation continues, but at a slower pace. But obviously, that is my uneducated, uninformed guess. The person who knows what is going to happen is Sam, and Sam is going to publish his model on Monday.
Perfect. Yeah, it's gone well, his model recently. It's been managing to get things correct, or even if we have a big surprise, it's managed to get it going the right way. And a lot of the time it lines up with your views, which has obviously been great for us. And I mean, shall we go on to retail sales? What are you expecting? Are we gonna get another big beat in the control group?
Well, maybe not big, but a bit again, more likely than not, because consensus is a bit pessimistic. They see a contraction in retail terms, and that's because we had a bit last month and also the short-term credit card data. But big picture, I mean, we're seeing such a strong growth in real household income. I mean, if you look at employment, real wages, also with the sort of backdrop we have with equity prices, with house prices, you know, households are feeling flush. They are not going to save more, and so that, from a top-down perspective, makes the consensus 20 basis point increase in the control group look a little bit on the low side, but we'll see. I think one data print is not going to change the big picture, which remains of a really flush and happy consumer, US consumer, as ever, happy to spend. So I think that's what we'll get.
So in short, you're expecting strong inflation data, strong retail sales data. And is there anything else in the data side you're looking for this week? Michigan survey, is there anything we can learn there?
Yeah, I mean, that tends to be linked to durable goods consumption. And the idea there is that when you buy something durable, like a car, a computer, it commits you to spending the flow of services that you will get from that durable. For instance, if you buy a beamer, you'll have to spend more on gas, on maintenance. Well, BMW would probably disagree with me, but basically, you commit to a high level of spending you tie yourself to a high level of spending over an extended period of time, and that's why durables and consumer confidence tend to be tied. So yeah, I mean, the consensus is no change because we had a big jump last month, and that seems reasonable to me. I mean, in general, the consumer sector of the economy is really in great shape. I mean, we're starting to see small cracks with, for instance, increase in delinquency rates with credit cards, for instance, but these are very small. Overall, the big picture is positive.
Awesome. And maybe we can take a different step here in this call. A lot of our clients are asking us about the elections, understandably so. You've just started your tracker on the elections that you're now going to release, I believe, bi-weekly. Is there anything in the next week that we need to pay attention to? Anything of interest?
No sort of no discrete event. I mean, we're going to get, I mean, so the in terms of the next primaries are on the 20, so the week after next. In terms of my calendar, which includes former President Trump legal travels, we're going to get a ruling in the New York in the New York fraud case, with a judge coming up with a number that Trump would have to pay. He's going to appeal. So that's it for next week, really, in terms
Perfect.
of politics.
Perfect. With that all wrapped up, I think it's good to leave the week ahead there. And if anyone has any questions, they can, I guess, comment below or come straight to us in our Slack chat or Bloomberg chats if they're a professional client. Thank you, Dominique.
Thanks, Ben, and have a good week, everybody.
See ya.